I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Let's not do too much today because I have to pee and I know if I laugh too hard, I'm going to pee myself. So let's not try to make me laugh too hard. And I already see from your face that you're about to start.
You saying that isn't going to stop me from saying what I was going to say. I wasn't even going to say anything funny. I was going to be serious. Like, all right, I was actually going to bring up like a serious kind of topic.
You're holding a Rubik's Cube.
No, you know, a realization I've been having over the last like week. Not a realization, I've known this, but like, you know, it's just kind of resurfacing. Knowledge is power, and the people that get the most ahead in the world are the smartest people. I'm not saying book smart, I'm not saying you gotta know what the goddamn quadratic formula is, but you gotta know.
Guys, our special guest today is Einstein.
No, I say that to say I bought a Rubik's Cube. Right. If you guys didn't know, when I was in eighth grade, I was in the robotics team. I was an engineer. I was building a robot with my bare hands, my 14-year-old hands. At that same time, I was learning how to solve a Rubik's Cube. I learned how to solve a Rubik's Cube. My best timing was like 28 seconds. I know none of y'all can beat that. It's okay. But I bought another one. I was at Walgreens because I wanted to buy... I bought a wide-ruled composition notebook as well because I wanted to write my raps in there. I've been rapping a lot too. And I also am going to make a chess account. I'm a demon at chess. You know, there's like a lot of like just small kind of things that like I've always kind of been good at that like I never really shared, but I think I'm going to practice them again.
You're just healing like, your inner child.
Not even that. Kind of, but I guess it's more like, you know, like this is why I want to bring this up. I've been having this separate revelation.
There's a point to this story.
so many revelations. But no, you know, because like everybody tells you like, oh, like do what you're passionate about. Well, right. Yeah. But I think more importantly, for a career, you should do what you're good at. Mm. Right. Anyways, moral of the story.
No, tell me, what is the moral of
the
story?
No, the moral of the story is buy a Rubik's Cube.
You could have kept this all the way at the end for the advice.
Yeah, well, here we are. Thank you guys for joining me on my podcast, Difficult Dish.
Just your podcast.
It's a podcast about South Asian narratives, and I'm joking. I'm the co-host. I'm probably your second favorite co-host.
Hey,
my name is Mosh Noon, and my co-host name is
Mahua. I'm here. My name is Mahua. Before we get started, obviously I have to plug my shop, my South Asian shop, labyrinthav.com.
You got like a special sale or something?
I got a special sale for you guys for Black Friday where you can get 20% off your whole order. Damn. You know, I am a small business and I got my South Asian apparel. I got my feminism apparel and art. I got just anything that you can rep to just show people that you're South
anything.
Asian. You know, I got my Bangladesh. I got my Nepal. I got Pakistan. I got India. And I'm hoping to expand, obviously. But I just want you guys to feel good. So obviously for Black Friday, put me on your Secret Santa list. Put me on your list for goddamn I don't know what, but get your gifts for your friends, your family.
Professor, a little gift. You need that A. You got an 88 right now. You got to persuade him to get an A. labyrinthav.com. Mm-hmm. You goddamn, your mom mad at you because, you know, you labyrinthav.com.
But honestly, no. Like, honestly, a lot of mom and dads love my apparel because that's, like, the one piece of Bangladesh that they see in clothing. So a lot of people that buy from me, they tell me that their parents have given such good feedback. So, yeah, maybe it is a good gift for your mom and dad.
A little two-in-one. Why not?
Yeah.
That won't hurt.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, get a little sale. Get a little 20% sale on me on labyrinthav.com for Black Friday.
Do it or else.
All right, now on with the episode.
How have you been? What have you been up to?
I've been up to just a lot of working, you know. Now that I'm home from La Paris and from La London, I've just been, you know, back on track with my goals and passions and trying to end the year strong. So a lot of working from my end, but, you know, trying to still balance it with, like, friends and relaxing time. So we're in a healthy balance right now, you know, a lot better than before.
Yeah.
I feel a lot more.
You feel better from compared to, like, before your Paris London trips?
I would say so. I think I have more direction.
Mm.
You know? I think both of us have gotten things that we've gotten out of our trips, and we are bringing those, you know, learned factors into our routines now, you know?
I learned how much I like food when I was on my trip.
Yeah, no, you knew that before.
I've been practicing that a lot.
Yeah, if you understand. We know.
You understand what I'm saying.
We know exactly what you're saying.
Speaking about food, what are we talking about today?
What aren't we talking about today, okay? So, you know, Mashun and I both had this idea today about cooking. And Mashun was the one that actually brought it up. I thought of it. I just didn't know if it was, like, a valid enough idea to actually expand on. But, you know, after we talked about it a little bit more, we're like, you know what? This is actually a really good topic because, as you guys know, cooking and food is such a big part of South Asian culture. You know, it's kind of like a love language. So in this episode, we wanted to talk about, you know, what cooking means in our culture, why is it such an integral part in our society. Integral, you know?
Nice.
And then also on top of that, what pushes us away from cooking, especially in high school, college years?
Yeah, that's a
big one. There are some stereotypes associated with cooking, especially for genders. And, you know, there are so many different factors of, like, why we didn't want to cook as much, right?
Right.
And then third, on top of that, because, you know, we got to end it with a banger.
Right.
What our relationship to cooking is now after, you know, moving out and after, you know, just getting older and how things have changed and also some of the favorite recipes that we like making now. Spoiler, we do like cooking now.
Y'all gonna have to wait for that.
Yeah, y'all gonna have to, you're gonna have to wait for that banger.
Right.
But yeah, we got a lot of, you know, gems to fit into this episode, you know?
To begin with, I want you to guess what my favorite fast food restaurant is and what you think I order from there, and I'll do the same for you. Go.
Well, first I have to think about what mine is.
I know what yours is.
Yours is Wendy's chicken nuggets.
You know, I'll give
that's
you that.
That's a good one.
I'll give you that.
I knew
you know
that.
What? Wait. Before we get in, you can't take it back.
You can't take that back.
What sauce? What sauce?
Honey mustard. You literally told me the other day.
Yeah,
you literally told me the other day. This man was in a food coma after eating 16 chicken nuggets, and he was like, "What do you think my favorite honey mustard sauce is?"
You're about to get me started. Listen, this woman, talking to her at night, you know, like 10 p.m. Right? She orders a whole pizza. Nice. I'm happy for her. Right.
Yeah, honestly, okay. It wasn't filling enough.
What?
Yeah, I could.
What toppings you got? I got mushrooms, spinach. Yeah, I know you.
You know,
nice
white sauce. What's my favorite fast food? You didn't even tell me.
I think it's a fish fillet from McDonald's.
No.
Really?
Yeah, no.
Is it like a bean burrito from Taco Bell?
No, I don't even know what my favorite fast food is.
All right, well.
But I haven't had a fish fillet in a while.
But you like them. I like when, like, the bun is real nice and smooth, you know what I'm talking about? When it's, like, you know, just a nice round, like Patrick's house. Just nice.
Yeah.
Anyways, what are we talking about today? No, cooking.
Yeah, where do you... 10 minutes into the episode.
where do you want to start? Where do you want to start?
All right. So let's start with what food means in our culture.
Mm.
What the hell is cooking in our culture and why?
Cooking means a lot. Cooking means a whole lot.
Right.
Cooking goes very unappreciated in our homes by certain parties. Cooking takes a lot more work than, you know, one, kids realize. Two, a lot of time fathers realize.
Mm-hmm.
Three, even when like the mothers are starting off cooking, even they're like, man, this is so much. My grandma on my mom's side, she, like, when she was mad young, she had to cook for parties of 10, 12.
Oh, yeah, 10 plus people is normal.
Like, but when she's, like, 17, 18, 19 yep. years old, mad early. And we think about that now, and I'm like, goddamn, I can't make food for myself. and right. obviously, like, we don't care to think about these things any deeper than just, like, oh, like, whatever. You know, when we're younger. But, like, you get older and, like, you move out or you start, like, living on your own or you move out to college and you're like, damn, like, I'm struggling to freaking microwave my noodles. Like, but, you know, right. our moms would make this, and that so quickly. You know, you get older and you realize, like, man, this stuff takes so much more work. And, you know, obviously we could bring this up with anything. We could bring it up with, like, you know, like, gardening work, like watering the plants outside or, like raking the leaves and in the yard, like whatever. It's like these like home duties that specific people just don't care to realize that like it's actual work.
Yeah, that's why a lot of men especially, they're kind of just like, oh yeah, there, she's just like a housewife, like what do you do all day? I come home and I bring all the money, like all you did was cook. But that's like a lot, taking care of the family, gardening, cooking. Thinking of a recipe every other day, every single day, is hard to do.
Yeah.
And yeah, I wish it was given more credit. But again, it's like something that you realize as you get older, you know?
And especially for like, for our mothers, this South Asian stuff is like not easy work. Like these white moms got to worry about making pancakes and omelets. Like our moms got to make goddamn God knows what.
Guru mangsho, yeah.
Like, got to use 40 different ingredients to make one thing, but we're just like, oh yeah, that's gourmet. Like, no, like, this stuff is hard, bro.
You know what's so funny? I literally make, when I make myself food, obviously, like, it's just for me. I only make, like, a certain amount, maybe, like, 2 days of worth, right? And usually I'm, like, scraping away at the bottom of the pan trying to get the last piece of rice. Whereas, like, my mom made food the other day and she had enough to, like, feed the whole family of in my house. And then she gave it to, like, my aunt's house because they were sick. And then she gave me extra to bring home with me. And it's like, bro, you just got, like, skills like that where you can make extra food on the reg, you know? It's just, like there's love put into it, you know? It's like, they're thinking beyond just themselves and they're thinking about their family. But beyond that, they're thinking about like the whole community. Like whenever I think about food, I think of like Eid and I think about celebrations. And I think about how even if the mom is like depressed or she's going through something, her main priority is still like cooking and like making sure that the family is taken care of.
And it's like, I grew up seeing my mom like not eat until like everybody else has eaten, and then like once everybody else eats, and then she'll go eat. And it's like, again, like when we're kids or even some of us when we're adults, we see that and we're like, oh yeah, that's her job. But like, no, like that's, I don't know, man, like I get real passionate thinking about this because it's one of those big realizations I've had ever since I moved out. It's like, damn, bro. And especially my sister, like my sister has started to cook a lot more over the last couple of years, but I think like a lot more definitely over maybe like the last like 3-6 months or whatever. And it's just like seeing all this and like me just like how much I love food, it's like any chance I get I tell my mom thank you, you know. And like we also grow up with our moms just like not getting thank you a lot, you know, because like you said, it's expected. But just because something is expected, even if it is or isn't, doesn't mean that you shouldn't be thankful or you shouldn't be grateful and you shouldn't do your part whenever applicable, you know. Just a lot of it goes unappreciated.
And you know what else is a superpower? When it's Ramadan time and your mom is cooking but she's also fasting and she's not able to taste anything and she somehow like is around all of this food and on her feet and she like isn't able to taste any of it. It's freaking crazy. It's just literally a superpower. But yeah, I know food is associated with like so much love and celebration. Like even if you're upset with your parents, the way that they want to apologize is by giving you like fruits or food. And like if you do well on a test or, you know, celebrating by making you birani or like something like that. And I feel like, I don't know, food is just like very surrounded with like love and hospitality in our culture. And I think that's like passed down onto us, you know, like we show our love to our friends with food and like hosting parties at our house and just like providing for them, which I like, you know, about our culture.
Did your mom ever get upset when like you like bought food from outside, or, you know, she asked what you ate and she's and you're like, oh, I ate out with my friends, and like, did she ever get upset at that?
Yeah, it will be like a whole different cuisine. Like I might be like, oh yeah, like I just had like Dominican food, like rice and beans, and she'll be like, but we have rice and beans at home.
Yeah.
But it's like bangali rice and no beans. Yeah. Like it's like chatpati.
Yeah.
It's like chickpeas. But yeah, it's just like, it's also like a wasteful thing. Like if you eat outside, it's like, why'd you do that? Because we have food at home that I, you know, that she spent so much time on.
And one thing that like I also, like my mom used to ask me a lot, and I didn't really not that I didn't understand, but I just didn't take it serious. It's like she would ask me a lot, like, oh, like, does it taste good? You know, when we're kids, we're like, yeah, obviously it tastes good. Like it's food. But it's like you get older and you realize like, man, like she is making this for me. You know, like she's literally making this for me. You know, like my mom has not lived 1,000 years. You know, it's not like she's been doing this. I don't know, just like simple shit like that. Like when she asks me if it tastes good, like I go out of my way to tell my mom, like, yeah, like, yes, like very much yes. Like I don't make this just like a, oh, yeah. You know, I feel like a lot of kids, oh, yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. I feel like a lot of our mom's self-worth is connected to the food and their cooking. Like,
yeah.
I know when my mom got married, like she kind of had to, you know, learn how to cook by herself. Like my nanu taught her whatever, but she had to kind of learn on her own to provide for like my dad and the family after she got married. And it's kind of like that's your first chance to like prove yourself. And I think that sticks with you for forever. And so I think that's why they're always trying to get that sort of, you know, validation with how their food tastes. But like, you know, I would do the same thing too if I'm hosting and I'm like feeding someone. You know what's wild? Something that I noticed the other day.
This isn't just a game, it's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Like Bangalore people, South Asian people in general, they buy a lot of food in bulk, especially like chicken and beef and like meat. The other day, my dad bought 18 pounds of meat.
What?
And it was over like $100, like it was close to $200. And I was like, first of all, that's not normal. Second of all, meat is expensive. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, people, Bangalore people just have extra freezers in their house.
Yeah, I got one. You seen it?
I've seen it. It's huge.
And it's, that's one thing we didn't even talk about. Like,
yeah,
bro, groceries cost so much.
Right.
My God. A freaking pineapple costs $25.
Yeah, they want the most organic stuff, even if they're not like making that much money. And it's also like my Kalamani, my aunt, they wanted to get live chickens too. I was like, please, like, relax.
He saves
guys are so bungly.
And it's like, you know, it's just like an extra amount of love into it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I think when I moved out and I had my own crib and I had my first, I hosted my first event. Not event. I just hosted like a dinner for like five of my friends. I made Arab chicken and rice with like the white sauce.
Oh, that was good. That looked good.
All that stuff. And I remember when I was making it, before I made it, I was like, man, this is going to be so much work. Like, do I really want to do this? Can I not? Like, I'll literally just buy like $50 worth of food for everybody. But I went to the grocery store. I bought everything. I spent like the grocery bill was like $100. I made everything from scratch. And when I made it and when I gave it to them and I saw them eating it, I've never like in my life like felt that good. Like it was so weird, bro. And if you've never hosted a dinner, like you probably don't know the feeling, honestly. Man, like, I got so happy. I've never been that happy. And in that moment, I honestly could have shed a tear because I was thinking about my mom so much. I was like, man, like doing this really helps me understand like what goes on in her head when she makes food, you know? So I know it's early in the episode, but a big piece of advice.
But we can't get to that part yet because a lot of people don't have that chance to host dinner. A lot of people just have horrible experiences with cooking.
Right.
So let's talk about that first. So what was your relationship with cooking and what was your introduction to it, I guess? Because a lot of people have like a negative introduction because there is some sort of like micromanaging in the kitchen, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a big one. It was real negative for me. I remember when I was a little boy and I would, you know, Saturday morning when I start making some porota, some, you know, some roti, some eggs.
Why are you a little boy making porota and roti?
My mom would goddamn run into the kitchen and tell me that like I'm flipping my porota wrong. I was like, Mom, there's one way to flip porota. She's like, no, you gotta flip it.
You know,
this
once
way.
When I was younger, I put porota right on the stove without a pan.
All right, that's different. I'm glad she did it.
I was younger.
how young? Freaking 18. That's
no
different.
But you know what I think it is? I think since our parents don't like us being wasteful, and in our culture it's just bad to be wasteful, I mean any culture in general, you aren't able to have that chance to experiment because there's a chance that you're going to be wasteful with food.
You know, no wasting. One grain of rice is one bad dream you're going to have.
No, literally, my mom says if you waste one dana of rice, like, that rice can feed a whole family of birds.
All right, that's just different. But yeah, when I first got into it, it was tough getting in the kitchen because I wanted to. I think, you know, there were kind of like periods too. I think when I was in high school, that was like, I tried and then my mom just like didn't let me do it. And then I think I tried again. But like a much harder push is actually when we first started talking. It was during quarantine when like I was like actually starting to like enjoy, like I learned how to like marinate chicken. Like I've never marinated chicken before. And like I was learning, I was like, whoa,
you're making your quesadillas.
I was like, all these spices, you can put all these spices in this right. thing, put it in the fridge and I was having so much fun with it. I remember in the beginning, bro, like my mom would stare me down literally every 5 minutes. Do you need help? Do you need this? Do you need the oil is over here? Oil's run from me. My mom would be like, oil's right there.
You're holding it. Like you're holding it at this point.
I'm putting in the pan. Don't forget the oil. It's like and it was a lot of that. And in the beginning, it would piss me off. And there were times when like there was this one specific time, I think she like yanked something out of my hand and I just like left the house. I was like, bro, like this is OD, like you do not have to, like, just let me do it, you know? And I think, like, I might, like, talk to my sister about it or something, and what helped me kind of have a little bit of empathy with my mom is kind of what you were saying earlier. It's like, this is what they do, you know? So you doing it instead of them, it kind of makes them feel like their job isn't as important, or, like, they don't have as much worth as they might have had when you were a kid. And even if that's true or not, you know, like at the end of the day, a mother is always going to want to feel like a mother. Sometimes the delivery might suck. Sometimes they might yank stuff out of your hands. But, you know, I learned to empathize with my mother some more, and I took it a lot more slow, and I tried not to get as upset as I might have in the past. But yeah, that's kind of what it was like, you know, growing up, and I'm sure you experienced the same type of thing.
How was it as a male cooking in the kitchen?
You know, I grew up with my dad not ever cooking. It was always my mom. My mom never really pushed me into the kitchen. She never told me that like I had to or anything. It wasn't like you don't have to do this, your wife's gonna do it. Like, she wasn't like that, but she just like never put that pressure on me. Maybe because like as I was growing up, like despite whatever influence I've had in my life, I feel like because I've grown up with such a like a loving mother and grandmother and sister, I've just always had a lot of empathy towards like what are the traditional stereotypical things that women should do, and I've never had a problem with cleaning. I was always cleaner than my sister. Like, I was always like more interested into like the kitchen. I was always trying to help out outside with like home stuff. Like, I personally never gave a shit. I know that that's not the reality for a lot of guys that grow up with sisters or grow up with mothers that live in the kitchen. A lot of guys do not give a shit and just, you know, have no problem eating out every single day and not putting any effort in the kitchen. And I don't like those types of guys. I think that you should absolutely do your part, even if for whatever reason, like in your, when you get older and say you're like the working husband and your wife is the stay at home wife, that does not mean that you don't cook and clean.
Mm-hmm.
It might mean that maybe she does it more because she's at the home more, but that doesn't mean that you never clean or cook. Like,
never pick up a brush.
It's like, I hate guys that think about that say like, oh, it's their duty. Like, no, like, thankfully, I've never been like that. I've always just kind of like enjoyed the kitchen. Like, I've just always loved food.
Yeah, Mashun and I have this joke that Mashun's going to do all the cooking while I do all of the actual work.
Yeah. And like, even if that wasn't a joke, like, I really don't mind because like that stuff is fun for me, you know?
I think that's you being comfortable with your masculinity. I think a lot of males are afraid to admit that and afraid to like actually accept that as a reality. But I think that says a lot about your character, you know. Yeah. But I think it was a good point, like what you said, you know, since cooking and food is a big identity of our moms, it's kind of like obviously it's good for the kids to become independent, but it also feels kind of scary and daunting for the mom when it feels like your kid is like growing up without you and like you don't need use for the mom anymore. So I think same thing for me, like I wanted to cook in the kitchen. And I obviously, to learn, you have to experiment, you have to make mistakes. But it felt like I had no room to make mistakes in the kitchen because my mom was like always kind of running in, like any wrong smell, she would be running in. Me like making the wrong clatter on the pan, she would come running in. And it like felt like I wasn't able to actually learn on my own because there was someone like always watching over me. Yeah. And it was very frustrating, where it kind of just like turned me off from cooking. And like, I just didn't even want to be there anymore. The only time where I would feel comfortable to like be in the kitchen was when like my mom would go to work, or like I knew she was going somewhere for 2 hours. So I would like run to the kitchen because I thought that was my only chance, which is really frustrating. You know, it's like I felt most at peace when like no one was home and like I knew that I'd have the chance to like experiment and like no one could yell at me. Like, I remember once everyone was asleep and I was trying to make like, I don't even know what it was. It was like Korean waffles or something, Korean pancakes, like the fluffy ones. I made it. It was horrible. I thought like no one would notice because it was in the middle of the night. My mom obviously noticed the next day. I mean, she laughed about it with me, but it's also like, you know, I shouldn't have to wait for people to go to sleep or leave the house for me to like cook, you know? So, I mean, it took me a really long time to actually like learn how to make basic things, like, I don't want like an omelet, like even that.
Yeah.
That's like something that I'm still learning how to make, you know, perfectly. But, you know, making like pasta, like Western foods, you know, I didn't really go into the brown foods really, but I started the basics. But again, it's hard to be micromanaged in the kitchen. And I think on top of that, me being a woman or me being a girl, there's this added pressure that you have to learn how to cook to like provide for your husband. Luckily, I didn't get too much of that pressure growing up because my parents are more heavy on education and, you know, like equal rights and all of that. But there was still like some conversation and some pressure, like, oh my God, you know, it's kind of like a cycle, like, oh my God, you're not learning how to cook. How are you going to cook for your husband one day? But it's also like, I'm not able to cook because of you. And it's just like a back and forth type of cycle, you know? So it was really hard for me to like actually, you know, get into that place and have a good relationship with cooking. And also on top of that, my brother started making food earlier just because he didn't want to eat the food at home that my mom was making. And he obviously wanted to get more gains from the gym. So he started making like steak and whatnot. So like I was getting compared to him, and it's like, it was just like a whole bunch of things, and it just like turned me off. And then now that I've moved out, I've gotten so much better with it, you know?
Yeah, what's it like now?
I mean, now I actually have the space to obviously like experiment. I can, you know, make foods on my own in peace. I also have the willingness to learn how to make brown foods. Like the other day, I was kind of just like watching over my mom's shoulder at home, and I was writing down all of the things she put in to make the chicken. And like, I didn't even tell her. I was kind of just like watching her, because I don't know. It's nice to observe and like learn your own way instead of like just them saying, yeah, like a spoon of this much of cardamom. And like, they don't even know what they're saying. You know, they're just like, yeah, just like do as much as you think. Like, what does that mean? What does that mean?
Right. Just
like, what does that mean? It. Yeah. Like, how am I supposed to know? Especially when you're beginning to learn. Like, what do you mean by like, you'll just know? Like, what does that mean? So I just noticed that, like, I have to observe myself and kind of write down the things that I'm noticing on my own instead of, like, hearing this woman saying, like, just put a pinch of this and a little bit of salt, when really a little bit is three spoons. And it's like...
I think the first step is just, like, being willing to, like, stand in the kitchen, just, like, watch your mom.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us, like, maybe things, like, change when you get older, but, like, I just, like, completely, like, despised the idea of just even going into the kitchen, because I just like didn't care. But I think you know, you're not gonna learn how to make all these traditional things. Like, yeah, you learn how to make it online, but at the end of the day, like, the best way is just learning from like your parents and just like standing in the kitchen with you. And like, literally nowadays, like, I'll literally wake up and I'll see my mom in the kitchen, I'll literally stand like right next to her and just watch her
for just like bothering her
for like 10 minutes. And it's gotten so normal that like she's not even phased anymore. She's like, oh,
right,
he's here.
Right. Not him again.
But yeah, I remember when I moved out, I remember the first thing I made, I bought a steak from Publix and I made it, and it was terrible, because like I didn't know that like the different types of steak, and like some steaks are, you know, I just saw the cheapest one, it was like a $4 steak, and I was like, oh, $4 steak, let me get it. And it was like a eye round cut, which is literally like the worst cut of meat that like you don't, like, you have to like make it into like ground beef or something. Like, it's not meant to be eaten as a steak, and like all this stuff, like, I didn't think it through. I had a $4 steak. I bought it, and right. So I had that. It was my first meal, and it was absolutely disgusting. I'm pretty sure I got sick from it. But it was like, from then, I like, that pushed me to like, okay, like, let me go learn about like different cuts of steak, you know. And then like that kind of like just elevated into like me just like really enjoying cooking. Like, I remember like, if you remember when I moved out, like, I used to love cooking so much. Like, every morning I would make like little breakfast sandwiches or little, like,
I remember
little granola,
little tuna bagels,
right, little tuna bagels. And for lunch I make little chicken turkey sandwiches, little whatever, and
right,
I had a lot of fun with it. Like, I'd make kichuri, I'd make a lot of rice, I'd make, like, you know. And I would always ask my mom, like, oh, like, what do you do for this or that. And I feel like as we get older, cooking is like a topic that really helps grow the bond between like a child and their mother. You know, it's just like, if you have difficulty talking about anything with your parents, that's a really good topic to get into, that I think could, you know, ease into becoming closer in just like whatever topic.
You know what I'm thinking about? Like, if you don't have the chance to move out and you still want to get into cooking, but you have, like, you know, all of these issues with the micromanaging and it's kind of turning you off from the kitchen, I feel like something important to do, besides obviously being patient and like standing your ground in the kitchen even when you want to leave and someone's kicking you out, basically, is maybe just like going to the grocery store by yourself or going with your mom. So like, at least your mom is seeing that you're like participating in like the cooking process or the shopping process, and you're becoming more familiarized with the ingredients, and she's like beginning to trust you more. I feel like a lot of people just kind of like go into the kitchen and your mom is like, you know, why the hell is she or he in the kitchen? And like, she doesn't, like, you know, they don't trust you because you haven't really done anything beforehand to like prove that to them. So maybe a nice way to like start that process of trust is just like going with them to the store and like going by yourself and knowing what you like, you know.
That's a big one. That's a really important one. Good job.
Mm-hmm. That was nice. A good one, right?
Yeah. Just like asking them, like, and they'll probably say no. They'll be like, oh no, you don't have to. Just be like, let me go with you. Like,
yeah,
just let me sit next to you. Like, it's just go. Or even if like you go outside for a little bit, like, ask your mom, like, hey, I'm gonna be outside. Do you need like some onions, or you need some bell peppers, or some goddamn chili peppers, whatever.
Goddamn. But you know what? Something else. Oh, go ahead.
No, no, that was pretty much it.
But you know what? On something else on top of that is like, if you do start cooking and you're experimenting and you only start cooking when your parents aren't home, maybe like let them taste it like when they come home, so they start also getting familiarized with your recipes and see that you're actually not burning the house down and your food is actually good, and they again start trusting you, you know?
And make some for them when they come home, have a little plate ready for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a big one.
I think, yeah, when we're beginning to cook, we kind of just like make the food for ourselves just because, you know, we're learning and we're hungry, so we make the food for ourselves. But a big part of our culture and a big part of like what we should be is just like sharing with other people and not being selfish with the food. Like, for example, when I order food to my house, Mashun usually orders it for me, but he usually gets it for like my brother or like my mom. Like he asks, you know, and I think it's important to like share the food with your mom or your dad or whoever's in the house to like show them that, first of all, you care about them, and second of all, that you're capable of making the food yourself and it's not horrible, you know?
I think something big that I do that is it's big but like it's small is like just cooking for your parents sometimes. Like when they come, like them coming home, and even if there is already food at home, like make something for them. Like,
yeah,
especially my mom, like I know how happy that makes my mom sometimes, like, and it's like incomparable to anything else that I can do, like just cooking for, because like that's what they do, you know? So having that done for them, like that goes like a long way. So if like you're listening and you don't do that, that's honestly like one of the biggest suggestions I have. I think it goes such a long way that people don't even realize, because they just don't even get started.
What's your relationship with cooking now?
I haven't been doing it as much since I moved back home. I think my mom has missed cooking for me for the year that I was gone, and she is just not that she's not letting me cook, but I think she is just very excited to cook for me again, that I'm just kind of like letting her do her thing. I still like make breakfast, so I'll still like buy food and bring her some and like blah blah blah, but I'll always love cooking. I really want to start learning about, you know, the dals and the mangshous and all that type of stuff. But I love cooking. I really do. Like, I don't know why. I love cook. I think the only thing I don't like about cooking, I think I didn't like it as much before because it took a lot of time. I hated how much time went into cooking.
Yeah.
But now that I have more time, I am going to get back into cooking like avidly, like at least once a day or something. I love it. I think it's so much fun. I think it's an art form. It's memorizing all these different things and how they go well together. It's so like interesting how like these eight spices put together makes this like very distinct flavor that the whole country follows, you know? It's like it's very fascinating to me. I love watching cooking shows and cooking TikToks. That's my favorite thing in the entire world, and I love it, man. I really do.
But it also like passes down the family line, because like obviously a lot of cultures share the same recipes and the same dishes, but your family and each family has their own twist on it and taste to it. Yeah. So I think, you know, learning like the secret ingredients and learning like the specific taste, it really like makes a difference.
My mom makes this chicken roast for Eid. And she got a little secret ingredient. I'm not telling what it is, but it's secret. It's real secret. I'm never telling
you. Well, now I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued.
I'm never telling you. And you can ask her. She's not going to tell you. But I know.
You know what?
I'm going to learn how to make it. And you're going to be like, oh my God. Well, I'm not telling you.
So when I'm looking over your shoulder and I'm watching you, what are you going to do?
You're still not going to. I'm going to, hey, can you go get? And then I'm going to add it. What about you? How's your relationship with cooking now?
I really like cooking now. Obviously, I'm more in tune with like the Western foods, but my friend does this thing where he makes, you know, one cultural dish a week. And I think that's like a nice start to it. You know, you start experimenting by yourself where only you can taste it. And then slowly you get better and better. You start, you know, being more perfect with your measurements. And honestly, at the end of the day, like everyone can have the materials, everyone can have the ingredients. It's more about like the measurements and like, you know, just over time, it like gets perfect and perfect. So I have to just start doing that, you know.
Wait, what's your favorite thing to make?
Like Western food?
I don't know, whatever.
I really like making sushi. Sushi is a good one.
It's been a while.
It's been a while, yeah. You know, I haven't really gotten back on track right after Paris and London, but I have to start making that sushi.
When we made them, I added so much rice. I would get so full.
Yeah, it was so fat. It was so fat. I also really like making my chipotle rice bowls.
Yeah, those are good.
Those are my notorious bowls, you know.
I'm proud of myself. They're good.
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff. Yeah.
What do you remember? Oh, I didn't even talk about this.
What?
Remember how the couple times I've cooked for you whenever I came to see you?
Yeah, once Mashun came to see me and he almost got caught by TSA on the plane, but he literally brought a glass tray full of this dish he made up. It's called rolled up pasta.
I made it up from scratch. I did not look any type of recipe.
You brought lobster pasta once. You brought rolled up pasta.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I blessed this girl. I really did. I flew across the freaking country with a glass. They wanted to take away. I was like, no!
Yeah, I remember once me and my brother came to Florida and you made us the brioche bun.
The Beyond Meat burgers. I almost burned the house down making those. I put them in the toaster oven and some oil was dripping down from them and it caught on the iron bar that heats up and there was a little flame. I got so scared. I went and it went away.
Yeah, damn. Yeah. Love that.
Yeah. What have you cooked for me, huh? What have you brought to Florida? You brought a chopped cheese. I'm kidding.
The chopped cheese that I got you from the bodega. Chopped cheese.
And you made me that rice bowl. It was yummy.
Yeah, that rice bowl was good, right? Also the shawarma. Remember the shawarma bowl? Or was that the same one?
Yeah, it's the same thing. Is it?
I only made you one rice bowl?
Yeah.
Why'd you say it like that?
No,
I made you something shawarma, didn't I?
No, that's what you made.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. So as you guys know, we have our advice session or our response session at the end of the episode where you guys send in responses on our Instagram. It's at Difficultish. If you guys don't know, Instagram.com/Difficultish. We also have a TikTok where we pop off every other day and it's called Difficultish Podcast. You guys will not regret it if you follow us.
Nope.
So Mashun will pull up some of the responses that we got on our TikTok. On our Instagram.
All right, yeah, we got some responses, and the responses are going to start right now.
All right,
The first one we got, didn't appreciate the flavors enough before I moved out, and now slowly teaching myself the art. Mm-hmm. You know, this is something I kind of brought up earlier. I remember when I came back from Colombia, a lot of my coworkers were asking me oh, how's the food? And I was like, you know, the food is really good. The food is amazing.
Right.
But I think me going to Colombia and having authentic Colombian food and realizing how simplistic a lot of the dishes are, not saying that they're easy to make, but just it's just rice, a choice of meat and some vegetable or side or arepa or something, you know, not saying it's simple to make, but simple kind of dishes. I realized, I was like, man, I was really so spoiled growing up as a South Asian because our palates just become so enhanced because every dish our parents make has 62 different things in it. Whereas compared to white people or European people where a lot of the dishes are just take less stuff. There's less flavors to think about. Whenever we have any sort of brown dish, obviously we don't think about it because we grew up with it. But when we went to the Indian restaurant, we were man, our parents' food tastes so much better. And it's not because the restaurant isn't good. It's just because at moments like that, I really realized how enhanced and elevated a lot of our palates are from tasting all these different foods. And you get older and you make food yourself and you realize that why doesn't it taste the same as our mom's? Because man, their stuff is so intense. Not intense, intense as in there's just so much to it.
You know what I was thinking about the other day? Mm-hmm. You know how when we're young, we're and we have a fight with our parents, we're I'm going to move out when I'm 18. I'm never coming back and I'm going to, live on my own, right?
I have some of those.
And it's you move out
yeah.
when you're starve. An adult then you starve. And you're starving. And it's also you're craving the brown food, you know? Like, right, yeah, my mom gives me food every single week from home so I can, like, at least have 2-3 meals at my apartment. And it's like, I cherish that. Like, I'm eating each last grain, right, you know? Like, I had some today. I had some yesterday. Did not have to cook anything. And it's like, damn. Mm. I really, you know, miss that.
Do you, I remember when my mom would give me, like rice and chicken and stuff. It just, like, I didn't like eating it at my apartment.
It didn't hit the same.
I'm not even saying that to say that. Like, I literally did not let my mom make me extra food. Like, I came home to eat it. Like, I did not, yeah, it did not taste the same.
It's because they heat it up in the pot.
Yeah,
I don't know. On the stove, you know?
Yeah. I use my little
microwave. I kind of just throw it in the microwave, hope for the best, pull it out. I don't even put it on, like, a plate. Like, today, I like, just put it in, like, the bowl that my mom gave it to me in.
Right. And then you wonder why it tastes terrible. I guess there's melted rubber in it.
Literally.
All right, next one we got. My mom and I fight when it comes to how to make things, but I realized cooking is her love language, so when I challenge her, it affects her self-worth, which I don't mean to do. Our cooking methods are just different.
Mm. Yeah, I think this was also a big problem that I used to have, because it's like, you know, you're allowed to, like, have your own. Like, I remember, oh my God, I used to hold the stirring spoon a certain way, right? When I was stirring, simply, just like stirring.
Right.
My mom would get so mad at me because I didn't hold it the way that she held it. Right. And, like, small things like that, that's what's micromanaging, right? That's what it's called. That's the core definition. And it's like, I'm just holding the spoon, you know? Like, yeah, it's connected to their self-worth, but, like, small things like that that have no impact on how the food is made should not be, like, brought up, you know? Because the main focus is, like, how good the food tastes, like, how to actually make it. It shouldn't be, like, how to hold the spoon, how to, like, which way to, like, put the pan, like, handle, you know? Like, obviously, some things are saying out of, like, experience, and they don't want to, like, they don't want you to drop the pan because, like, the handle's, like, sticking out, whatever. But it's, like, other things. Now you're just, like, bragging, you know?
I mean, but honestly, I get it. Like, the whole process of cooking, especially in our culture, it's more about making good food. It's all about just, like the process and spending time in the kitchen and making sure that, you know, you're doing things the way that, like, your family has done it. Like, honestly, I look at the way that my mom cooks. And she cooks exactly like my grandma, like all the techniques, like the mannerisms, like the way that she cuts things, like she cooks just like her, you know? So like when she tells me to do things in certain ways, it's not because I'm going to make bad food. I know that she, like, I'm sure she knows the food is going to taste the same, but it's like, you know, she wants to uphold the value of, like, the art form of cooking and how beautiful it is when it follows, like, a family lineage, you know? And I'm sure that she wants to teach me recipes that she has learned from, you know, people in her family, you know? So I guess kind of, like, I get what you're saying. Like, yeah, micromanaging is annoying. But, you know, like, that's like their zone, you know? And, like, you want to be as respectful as possible. All right, the last one we got. Learned the bare minimum while I live with my parents, and now it's chaotic now that I live alone.
Mm.
You remember like that first, like, a week or two when you moved out, how egregious the cooking process was.
Yeah, it was just kind of like ramen, you know.
Right. Anything.
Just like fruits,
crackers,
dirt,
sun chips.
But I think, you know, that's the thing. Like, there's two levels to it, right? There are the parents that want you to cook because they want you to have those life skills, or they want you to, like, provide for the husband or whatever it is. And there are also the parents that don't want you to do any job. They don't want you to be in the kitchen because they want you to wholeheartedly be focused on just school, right? Mm-hmm. And then once you do move out, or once you are married, like, you just don't have any life skills. So I think it's important to, like, encourage your kid to cook in a way that is healthy, but it's also not like their self-worth isn't dependent on how much food they can make or how good their food is, you know?
Right.
Because it's important for them to be independent in a way where they can take care of themselves. All right. Now that we have finished our responses, do you have any 10-second advice, fella? Put the Rubik's Cube down.
Never.
He's been holding the Rubik's Cube the whole episode, guys.
It's like my fidget spinner. You remember those? I loved those. I had one. I was big on that. I was big fidget spinner.
Of course you were.
I got a piece of advice. Treat your life like a movie. Some of y'all are too focused on treating other people's lives like movies. Some of y'all be like, oh, my friend's doing this. My friend's doing that. Yeah, you know, I know the person that, you know, got into here. I know the person. Make that you. Why don't you do that thing? Why don't, you know, it's great that you're supporting your friends, but I think a lot of people sacrifice their own work ethic in putting themselves in like their friend's situation. Be like, oh, like I know that person, so like I'm connected to it, you know, like no, like just because you're surrounded by people who are doing good things does not mean that you should slow down, you know. It does not mean that you should live vicariously through them. No, like like start doing it on your own.
Spitting, you know, cause, facts,
because it'll feel a lot better when you do it on your own.
Yep. Yeah, a lot of people are just focused on other people's lives,
right?
Like my advice is...
Sorry.
What the hell were you about to say?
I keep going, but I'm not going to. You know, I cut it short. You know, life my ain't Instagram. That's all I'm saying. All right, go.
My piece of advice is you don't have to become besties with everyone in your career field or passion field.
Yeah.
Because you feel like they're all in the same, you know, field as you, so you have to become friends with all of them.
Nope.
Because sometimes, you know, it's good to have like-minded people, but sometimes it's better to kind of detach yourself from your passions. Like when you're so entangled in everything that you love, where you make friends that are involved with what you love, your job is something that you love and it's your passion, it's hard to like have a life disconnected from that, you know. And it's hard to have passions that you remain to love, right? So, you know, just detach yourself from that.
Right. Detachment. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to our podcast episode. Please follow us on Instagram and our TikTok. Follow Mashoon on Instagram, is at Mashoon Munir. And follow me on Instagram if you would like, at Labyrinth Ave. I also have a sale going on labyrinthave.com where you can get your own South Asian gear to rep some of your roots. You can get some art, you can get some apparel, you can get some mugs, some accessories, get your gifts for your friends and your loved ones.
Ooh, Christmas gift. That's a good idea. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For your Secret Santa, put me on your list. But we love you guys so much. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next week. Allah Hafiz. Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving, Black Friday.
Happy this Thanksgiving.
This is your Black Friday gift. Here you go. You're welcome.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.